If your neighbor next door could not get a loan from anyone out there and needed a loan, and you knew he or she was going to pay you back, what would be a fair interest rate to charge? And I was like, well, 10%. I mean, that is very fair. I mean, if you see some of these small auto loans that students after they graduate or during school get, I mean, just a little $5,000 or $10,000 note, because the volume of interest isn't enough, they'll charge pretty outrageous interest rates, 8, 9, 10%. I've seen hard money lending done years ago for clients just to get their, keep their business afloat and survive with interest rates over 60%. And it was worth it for that business owner or business owners because it allowed them to survive. Now, most states would argue that's usury. Sure, but at least he had the opportunity to get that type of loan and keep his business afloat, which now is creating great cash flow.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green. Please stay tuned to the end of the episode to hear boring yet important disclosures. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast, and today's episode is titled, I Love Loans, which might sound weird if you've been listening to my show for a while. I'm not a huge fan of being in debt. I struggle with it on a daily basis. I just don't like it. However, debt can be good. Debt can be great. And loans can be a lot of fun. I love loans. For example, if you're the lender, loans are great. You can loan out money, you can charge 3%, 4%, 5%, or if you want to be commensurate to the credit card companies out there, you could charge over 20%. Being a lender can be awesome, and you would love debt and love loaning money. Or on the other hand, being the lendee, where you're borrowing the money right off the bat, that might not feel fun having that debt to someone else. However, loans can be incredibly powerful. And I thought it'd be nice to do an episode where it's a consistent resistance, I should say, or something new where I'm working with potential new clients or new clients. And I talk about loans and implementing loans. And that's a very hard topic for people like me and others who, when this idea was first introduced to me over 10 years ago, who doesn't want to be in debt and wants to be debt free. As a natural impulse, the idea of having loans and taking loans for the rest of my life sounded just outrageous. It sounded like being in debt. But I'm going to walk through my thinking on this process and how debt can be good. Debt is good depending upon how you use it. So here are a few examples and ideas that you can run with and implement. And if you have any questions on what I'm discussing today, don't hesitate to reach out to me. I mean, you can always go to my website, engineerofinance.com. In the upper right-hand corner, there's a little section that says talk or chat with Ken. And schedule a few minutes that we can talk and see how I can help and point you in the right direction and take the next step. This is why I do this show, is to want to create a lot of value for others, do it for free, and make a difference and be the advisor that did not exist for me over a decade ago. So over the last 10 years, it's been about 10 years, quite often credit card debt can be, and student loan debt, but credit card debt especially, can be overwhelming for a lot of families. They're so easy to use, they're so easy to access. I'm a huge fan of credit cards if used the correct way. But if those balances are not paid in full each month and you're not taking advantage of the float, you can take advantage of the float, but if you don't pay that credit card in full, the interest rate is just outrageous. A lot of these credit cards are well over 20%. And just keep the math easy. If you have $50,000 worth of credit card debt, at least $10,000 is going, if you're paying the minimum payment, to interest alone approximately each year. I mean, it's just, it's brutal. It's a lot of money, that can make a difference for families. And so I will, these numbers are just, well, let's just have fun with the numbers. And so quite often, a lot of families, there's credit card debt, you know, or too often. That's okay. We've used them. It's an issue, and let's address it. And I quite often, I like to ask families, well, how would you like to make you have these loans, these revolving credit lines, essentially, you have these loans with your credit cards. How would you like to make a guaranteed 20% return on your investment? The credit card is not an issue. We'll wipe out the credit cards. What would you be happy with an investment? Now, quite often families will say, hey, I'd be happy with 5% return, 8% return, 10% return in the stock market. Great. How would you like me to give you a guaranteed 20% return on your investment? Guaranteed. And the family's like, yeah, absolutely. How are you going to do that? How are you going to give me a guaranteed 20% return on my investment? And so I'm going to walk through a process when it comes to loans. When I've talked about in the past that we always have to account for opportunity costs on previous shows and episodes. We have to account for opportunity costs. What do I mean by that? Well, if we have, for example, I'm going to do a quick calculator real quick. I brought up a future calculator and just say, hey, let's say there's about a credit card debt for this hypothetical family of $20,000 that has an annual interest rate of 20%. If it takes 30 years to pay off that credit card, and quite often those minimums, you look at what they're about, it seems like a mortgage. That $20,000 30 years from now, compounding at 20%, will have a future value of just over $4.7 million, just 20 grand. The number seems outrageous. And so let's just track it down, back it down to another extreme. And now I'm gonna do 5 years out. 5 years out, $20,000 with compounding at 20% interest rate, 5 years out will be worth about $50,000. Having that kind of money going to a bank is painful. But what if you were the bank? What if you were financing these things and were lending out money? Well, all of a sudden loans go from feeling evil and horrible to what a wonderful thing. So I've mentioned in the past about creating the green machine, and I'll reference it in my episode, where it was a concept that I learned from a lot of mentors I've had throughout my life. I mean, everything I teach and I've learned, I would argue 99% has come from others. Phenomenal advisors, the 1% in this industry that saw and taught me a different way to play the financial game. And maybe 1% is just fine-tuning things to my personality and what resonates for me as a professional engineer and me as an investment advisor, just how I see things, how my brain works. And hopefully if it works for me, the people are similar to my thinking, it'll resonate for the listeners of the show and clients I work for. So why do I take loans when I access money? Quite often when I'm working with families, I'm a big proponent that we can have one bank account, which I call the green machine, just having fun, based upon the favorite big wheel I had when I was a kid, that all this account, it's a free personal checking account and savings account. Free is no fees, no fines. I like working typically with the online banks for this, that all it's meant to do is protect my family's wealth and grow money. That's it. And so that is fed at approximately 20% of my family's gross income. And that money sits there growing. It's not a huge interest rate with these online banks. And I'm fearful throughout numbers because a year plus ago it was over 2%. Now it's hovering at 0.5%, 0.4%, depending upon the online banks that you might be working with, and who knows what it'll be next year, the year after. But the intention is that money is not to commingle. The money is treated like a business, and that money sits there idle. I use it to feed my numerous bankasauri in my family. I use that money for auto insurance and home insurance, protecting my family's assets, right? Protecting us financially. That money is used for different real estate opportunities, life settlements, investments in the stock market. That's solely for what that account is used for. And as the cash flows come from these different savings and investment vehicles, it pours right back into this account so it can be leveraged again. Now, from time to time, there will be family. Now, that 20% gross income is solely for protecting and growing money. The remainder of the money after payroll taxes, Social Security, Medicare, federal income tax withholdings, that money goes to the family account, and that personal family account is meant for needs and wants in our budget, right? Needs, we need to eat. Wants, we love grocery, you know, we love going out and doing trips and travel. Our example of a couple wants. And the goal is to, you know, accomplish as many wants, hit all the needs, and then hit our top wants for that year. And if we didn't hit some of the wants, then we just roll that into the next year for our budget. But number one on the budget is always 20% gross income goes to the green machine. Now, a few years ago, I know I've talked about on the show, I've talked about numerous people, we had an unplanned expense for our house. And I think I'm having some amnesia. I can't remember if it was 12 grand or 14,000. I'll have to go back and listen to the episode or look at my account from a few years ago. But that was over $12,000, I believe, maybe a little bit higher, maybe a little bit lower, where we were not planning on replacing a whole HVAC, you know, heating, air conditioning for the house, for central air. And so instead of getting on my hands and knees and begging for a loan from the banks, I just turned. There's two areas I love to turn to: the green machine that has all this money liquid, or substantial cash value in our bank of sources, and our bank of sources, or the cash value in our life insurance policies. And this is where loans are incredibly powerful. Now it's like, wait a minute, if I went to my regular checking banking account, why would I take a loan for myself? And how does that work? Well, I literally create an amortization schedule and say, okay, what can our family afford? It's like, okay, we can pay about $250-ish per month on a five-year note. So literally go to that account, the Green Machine account, which is nicknamed, it's just a personal checking account, but it's nicknamed checking and savings account, nicknamed the Green Machine, and say, hey, you're going to send this money to the family account and just keep numbers easy. Let's just say it's just 10 grand. Send the 10,000 over, and then my family, the Green family, is going to pay back automated. I have the bank account. I create the amortization schedule, came out to 200 something per month at a 10% interest rate, and I'll talk about why I charge 10% to myself, and then amortize that over the next 5 years, and then pay it back. And so now what's happened, I just guaranteed a 10% return to that account with no risk in the stock market. And the stock market and investments, stock market, they're my bright and shiny object. I love investing. I love chasing rates of return. I enjoy the passive income streams that can be created by investments. It's important. But we have the ability, if I can guarantee a loan to myself, and it sounds weird, it's just fun paperwork from one to myself, essentially my family to this account. But having it set it, create the amortization schedule and automate it. And I help a lot of clients with this that I work with to hold ourselves accountable to making that money grow. Now, why would I do that? Well, because that $10,000, because of opportunity costs, is going to grow. If I take it out of that savings account, whether it's paying, making five-tenths, or like one of my my first policy that I bought about, it's almost 10 years ago now, it will be in about 4 or 5 months now, you that thing's getting 10 grand putting in, it's going to grow by 13,000. I mean, that's substantial. 10 now for 13,000 later. I mean, those are substantial numbers. And these are approximate, don't take it, but it's the principle that's important. And so why, if I'm going to go pull from an account like that, why would I not account for that growth of what it's going to grow to? If I have an investment of $10,000, or an account, I don't care if it's making 0.5%, but it's sitting there ready to pounce on nice investment opportunities. And there's a 10% investment opportunity that could grow. Now, nothing's guaranteed in investments, but you know, 5 years later, that $10,000 at 10% annual interest rate is going to grow to $16,000. So if I just took that 10 grand for the heating and ventilation, for the central air, for our house, I would have lost out 5 years now on 6 grand worth of growth. I have to account for that. And so that's why I always charge myself a loan. I have to account for the opportunity cost. Now, typically I charge 10% interest rate because what really helped me with a mentor about a decade ago, it was really the hardest concept for me to understand. You know, numbers, analytics, that's very easy for me to look at. But from conceptual standpoint and language, that can be quite the struggle. And what really helped me is one of my mentors asked me, he said, Ken, if your neighbor next door could not get a loan from anyone out there and needed a loan, and you knew he or she was going to pay you back, what would be a fair interest rate to charge? And I was like, well, 10%. I mean, that is very fair. I mean, if you see some of these small auto loans that students after they graduate or during school get, I mean, just a little $5,000 or $10,000 note, because the volume of interest isn't enough, they'll charge pretty outrageous interest rates, 8, 9, 10%. I've seen hard money lending done years ago for clients just to get their, to keep their business afloat and survive with interest rates over 60%. And it was worth it for that business owner, business owners, because it allowed them to survive. Now, most states would argue that's usury. Sure, but at least he had the opportunity to get that type of loan and keep his business afloat, which now is creating great cash flow. And so 10% is a fair number. And so I don't care. So I look at myself as a neighbor. My neighbor, good person, needs the money, doesn't want to go through the hell of getting on his hands and knees to get a loan from the bank, comes to me and says, hey, you know, we can secure this note with my house or my car, whatever. Can you please lend me the $10,000? And I'd be more than happy to pay you 10% simple interest, compound interest, whatever, over the next few years. Now, to me, that is a pretty secure loan. I'm going to do that. And of course, it's for me and my family, and I treat myself like I'm the neighbor. I'm going to charge myself a 10% interest. It accounts for the opportunity cost. It's a great way to play the financial game. And so that's why I love loans. Loans are good. Loans are great. Now, look at it from the spread point as well. Look how banks make money. They're only making money when they're out there. They guarantee a small note of a fraction of a percent, and then they go out and lend other people's money, your money, so they can enjoy the spread at 3, 4, 5%. It's just a process. Apply that same financial game to yourself. And when you do that, when you master it, it becomes fun. It gives you permission to use your money that's sitting idle. And also, by budgeting it with the family expenses and not commingling funds and treating your money like a business, allows the family expenses to feed this one account that all it's meant to do is protect and grow your money. And that kind of velocity of money creates an incredible amount of momentum. When you have that kind of flow and you have those type of principles and even better, automate it so it's out of sight, out of mind, you'd be amazed at when you take loans how advantageous that can be from just your regular bank account, playing that game, how much wealth you'll accumulate because you've accounted for that opportunity cost. You have systems in place. It's automated. So you have 99.9. You just set it up once and forget it and just track it once a month. I mean, I love these banks' online systems because the automation we have, they're great. So use them to your advantage. They're offering them. They're creating consumer loyalty. Use those products and services to your advantage. Now, also getting loans from other people and other entities is great too. And then I'll talk about wiping out credit card debt. I mean, getting a loan from life insurance companies like I do quite often, essentially, for the most part, the net rate working against me is zero. And depending upon what kind of companies you work with and whether direct recognition or non-direct recognition companies, boy, can you take advantage of arbitrage and the spread. And so if I had the ability to go take a loan against the cash value, go call up a life insurance company and say, hey, I want a $25,000 loan or a $20,000 loan and going to wipe out this credit card debt, what a phenomenal opportunity, because essentially, for the most part, it could be a zero or less than 1% interest working against you, or actually could be a lot of interest working in your favor because of dividends growing income tax-free, that it's advantageous to take those loans and then go wipe out credit card debt. And so a lot of families I've worked with is like, hey, how would you like a guaranteed 20% return on your investment? Let's go take this $20,000 worth of credit card debt you're paying 20% on. We're going to wipe it out, the cash value in this life policy, by taking a loan against that cash value with a carrier or going to your regular savings account. But here's the key piece. You've been willing to enrich the banks. Who cares more about you, the credit card companies, or do you care more about you? And so if you've been willing to pay $500, $600, $700 a month, pick a number, and pretty much interest only to these credit card companies, if we can change the flow and recapture that money and have that $700 go into your own bank account over the next 5 years, pay yourself what you've been willing to pay the credit card companies at 20%, pay your own green machine, your own account that's meant to protect and grow money at that same interest rate, we have just wiped out the debt, created great debt because it's you as the lender and lendee, changed the flow of that money. Now we've got a $500, $600, $700 a month, $8,400 per year going into your own personal accounts. That's going to create by far more liquidity and opportunity for other savings and investment strategies. That's how you can care. That's why loans can be great. And that's how you can guarantee yourself a 20% return on your investment. And you just have to make the commitment to yourself and your family, like you've made a commitment to banks and credit card companies that thank God that they're out there lending money and we have that ability to use it. But I would argue that you care more about yourself and your family than the banks and credit cards companies care about you. And that's it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. I'm so grateful for all the listeners of the show. I look forward to next week's episode. Not sure what we're going to talk about yet. And if you have any questions and you're new to the Engineer of Finance podcast, please go to my website, engineerofinance.com. I have some fun blogs and articles and a whole list of episodes out there. And if you have any questions on anything, and I'd be more than happy to help. Don't hesitate to schedule time and talk to me and reach out, and hopefully I can point you in the right direction and help make a difference for you. Thank you so much, and I look forward to next week's episode.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice. The content is intended for United States audiences only. Opinions expressed are as of the date of this publication, and such opinions are subject to change. Green Financial and Insurance Services Limited, Green, is not responsible for any trading decisions, damages, or other claimed losses resulting from or related to the content presented. Green makes no representation as to the completeness or accuracy of the information presented. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Forecasts are not a reliable indicator of future results. Investors should be aware of the risks associated with investing. All investments are subject to investment risk, including possible loss of capital. Investors should seriously consider if an investment is suitable for them by referencing their own financial position, investment objectives, and risk profile. Consult with a qualified financial advisor as necessary before making any investment decisions. Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.